All right, good evening. I appreciate everyone's participation tonight. It's certainly good to come and sing praises to God and encourage one another, and I so appreciate all the men standing up and leading singing. Anytime that Scott's not here, I get a little nervous on song night because he knows how to sing songs I do not, which is most of them. So it's always good for others to be here and to do that. I want to take a look at this idea right here, just briefly. And if you think I'm stepping on your toes, well, I probably am. And I'll tell you why. Because this steps on my toes. Let me just say right now, I'm going to present these concepts to you, and I'm going to ask some questions I'm not comfortable with my answers to. I prepared this lesson. I know what the verses are. I read them. They made me uncomfortable. If Jesus were here, and we were singing praises to him, if God were here and he were speaking to us, how would we worship? If that doesn't hurt your feelings, it should. John chapter 4, verse 24, God is spirit. We must worship him in spirit and truth. Luke chapter 4, verse 8, you worship the Lord your God and him only shall you worship. Those concepts are true. They are important. We talk about them quite a bit when we think about the idea that we must do the right things in worship, that we understand the idea of the exclusive nature of God. Those are great ideas. Those are things that we do need to understand. But when we come together to worship, are we worshiping God? Is that what's on my mind? When I sing these songs, when I take the Lord's Supper, when we pray, when I listen to the scripture reading, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. We'll read verses 18 through 20. And again, verses which we're very familiar. In fact, if you're not familiar with this, Ephesians chapter 5, Colossians chapter 3, those are the two best proof texts that I'm aware of in the New Testament to show one that we sing without the aid of instrumental music. If you don't know where they are, this is a good place to learn. But I want you to notice the things in here that are not dealing with whether we just sing as opposed to play. I want you to look at how many times the divine is referenced. Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we talk about encouraging one another and singing to one another, and we well should do that. Songs teach and preach. But are we praising God like he's here? Are we giving thanks to Christ the way we should? Singing, making melody to the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus Christ. God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son are all in that verse. That's a little key to look for, by the way. One of the things that's handy in our inductive Bible study series is the way we mark those things. Let me tell you something. If you know the marking, a triangle and a cross and a cloud, you see that all in the same verse or the same verse or two, pay attention. Because all we talk about the fullness of Godhead dwelling in Christ, that's the fullness of deity dwelling in a verse. And it's important. I want to read two sets of verses to you. One from Revelation and one from Nehemiah, and the lesson is yours. Turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter 4. Let me just be honest about this. And I hesitated with whether to say this, but I'm going to. And I apologize if I hurt somebody's feelings. I get a little freaked out that sometimes people think they're coming to hear me. Just telling you the truth. This worship service, even though I'm the minister here and I'm trying to bring the Word of God to you, when I read the Word of God, it's not me that's glorified. If it is me that's glorified, that's a problem. It's God that is glorified in preaching, in reading, and in singing. And when we come together, it is to worship Jehovah God. And we must always have that at the forefront of our minds. Revelation chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. What are we going to do when we get to heaven? We are going to praise God 24 hours a day. We're going to sing praises to His name 24 hours a day. We're going to bow down and worship Him 24 hours a day. This is just practice. And we should be practicing like we want to play. Revelation chapter 4, verses 8 through 11 reads like this. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes around and within. And day and night they never cease to say, day and night they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who's seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who is seated on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are You, Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they existed and are created. You can't really see the image that I've got this PowerPoint on. When was the last time you fell on your knees to pray? When was the last time in worship you were so humbled to God that you got on your knees, that image of that man holding his hands up like this? The idea is in the Old Testament that the Jews would prostrate themselves before the Lord and hold their hands up as if to say, Lord, please don't fall on us. Do we ever think of our worship that way? We should. One chapter over in chapter 5. In Revelation chapter 4, God is on His throne. In Revelation chapter 5, Christ is worthy to open the seals. So the same kind of praises that God the Father receives, God the Son receives. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11. Revelation 5 and 11. Then I looked and I heard round the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen, and the elders fell down and worshiped. That's worship. What are we doing on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings? I'm not trying to give you an answer. I'm trying to ask the question. How do I approach God's worship? One more verse and the lesson is yours. This is from Nehemiah chapter 8, and I have to give all credit to Brooks Cochran on this. I've used this verse a couple times, and I've diligently credited Brooks with this because he did a lesson on this. Brooks used to preach here, I guess 15, 16 years ago, something like that. He did a lesson on this, and clearly I've never forgotten it. What is my attitude when the scripture is read? What is my attitude when the scripture is read? Do I honor the scripture being read? Forgive me of this. I should ask you, forgive me for this, Truman. Truman was 10 or 11 years old, and he was not 6 foot tall. And he would stand up here, and he would lower that mic, and he would read the scripture. It was awesome. But that scripture reading is not about Truman Brown. I do not honor Truman Brown when I listen to the scripture reading. You don't honor me when you listen to me read scripture. We honor God. And I never forgot this sermon. Brooks used to talk about that, and it's true. And this is aimed at no one in particular. How many people get up and do what they got to do during the scripture reading? It should drive you crazy. If God peeled the roof off this building and was speaking to us, how many of us would get up and file our nails or go use the bathroom? Ezra chapter 8, verse 1. And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. This is not about Ezra. Ezra's a great man. He's a scribe. He learned the law. He brought the law to the people. This chapter is not about Ezra. The people of Israel realized they had lost the word of God. And it was not Ezra who was reading to them. It was God who was speaking to them. Verse 3. And he read from it, facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. What would happen if we read one chapter out of the Bible? Verse 5 and 6. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They did not stand for Ezra. They did not worship Ezra. They were not afraid of Ezra. They feared the Lord. And they worshiped him as if he was worthy of everything. If you think I'm not talking to me, you're wrong. Because I need to check myself in every aspect of our worship. Am I praying? Am I listening to the Lord speak during the scripture reading? Am I taking of the Lord's Supper? Am I contributing? Am I listening to the men? Are the men prepared for their priestly service? Are they taking the... Let me tell you something. If I don't take what I do seriously, and these men don't take what they do seriously, and everybody, if we just lollygag through it, no one will worship God. And we will be worshiping in vain. Traditions of men or no, we may have the Word of God on it, and we may think we're right and in the truth, but I'm telling you right now, if we come up here and we don't take God in our mind when we worship Him, we are just as wrong as if we had a band up here with a smoke machine and having a raffle out in the parking lot. God is great, and He is worthy of our praise. If you're not a Christian tonight, I don't rightly know of anyone in our audience that's not. If you're online and you're listening, or if you know someone that needs to come to the Lord, the invitation of Jesus Christ is extended at all times. If you want to get baptized on Tuesday afternoon, call. Don't think just because we're up here behind the lectern that this is the only time. You can come to Jesus when you're convicted to do so. You get in touch with one of us, we will get you born again of water and the Spirit. I promise you that. If we can help you in any way, please come forward as we sing number 326.